Are you ready to get down to business? Join seasoned entrepreneur, community leader, and Army veteran, Scott Shalom Klein, who will take you behind the scenes with those who work in America's small business scene and speak with leaders making an impact, creating jobs, and telling their story in entrepreneurship.
So let's get down to business.
On AM 560, The Answer, here's your host, Shalom Klein.
And indeed, we're all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. And business, we talk a lot about business here on with Get Down to Business. And I'm your host, Shalom Klein. Remember, you can always download the podcast on my website at syklein.com. And while you're there, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Shalom Klein. It's going to be a jam-packed week of content and information you won't want to miss. So let's jump right in. I'm thrilled to be joined by Marvin Music, who together with his son Joshua co-founded MedicareSchool.com. And that was back in 2009. Their mission to offer unbiased and education-centric services to those approaching Medicare enrollment. Marvin is a nationally sought-after speaker and expert in Medicare. And he has empowered, believe it or not, over 100,000 individuals by providing clear guidance and facilitating enrollment in the most suitable Medicare plans. Marvin, welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot, Shalom. Good to be with you.
It's great to have you, Marvin. Truly a pleasure. Very, very important conversation. Marvin, let's talk a little bit about your background and how you got into this line of work. Is this something you planned on doing as a maybe teen or college student yourself?
No, sir, not at all. In fact, this is actually my third major career. I started off in my early 20s in mortgage banking and real estate, and then actually went back to school and got a seminary degree and was a pastor for 20 years. My son and I, at the end of that ministry, started this company in 2009. So I'm 63. So this is my third major career. I didn't plan on doing this, but we love it. It's a great business, wonderful opportunity to be able to help a lot of people to make important decisions. We help people Social Security, Medicare, as well as their investments.
What a fascinating journey and what an important one. You're helping so many people, which is great. So for those that maybe are not as knowledgeable as you and your son, Joshua, what are the eligibility requirements for Medicare and what's the process to enroll?
Sure. Well, the majority of people that are on Medicare, in fact, 85% of them are going on to Medicare when they're turning 65 or above. The eligibility is, Chris, as you know, we all pay FICA taxes or self-employment taxes, and a portion of that goes to Medicare. And so Medicare says that we're eligible once we have paid into that tax system for 10 years. They call it 40 quarters because we get 4 quarters a year. So once we have paid in at least 10 years of work, as we approach 65, then we'd be eligible for Medicare. The other group that's not aging in at 65 are those people that have been on Social Security disability for 24 months. And what happens then, regardless of age, Social Security disability, on the 25th month of getting their check, that's when their Medicare A and B begins. And again, that's about 15% of all people today. That's why we'll meet people that are, 42 and already on Medicare, 51 or maybe 60. But the majority, again, are coming in at age 65. And we work with them to get them enrolled, to make sure they're following the right paperwork, the right procedures. And then most people are going to get additional insurance beyond just Medicare. And we assist them through that process as well.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of different options, a lot of different options in Medicare. A lot of times folks sort of lump it in and just say, are you enrolled in Medicare? But there's a lot of different plans that are available. And so I very, very, very high level, Marvin, what do our listeners need to know regarding what these different plans and what they cover?
Sure. Well, high level would be the majority of people, about 90% of all people are going to select one of two types of coverage. One type is to be enrolled in the original Medicare A and B system. A covers inpatient, B covers everything outpatient. And so people enroll in that system, but that system does not pay for anything 100% other than preventive services. And so that means that Medicare pays, but there's always a balance that the patient is responsible for. And that is called gaps in coverage. So Medicare pays, but the patient's left with a balance, and those balances can be very sizable. They also have no stop-loss limit, so they just continue to grow, and people that get really, have serious health problems can get into a lot of financial problems. So what we do, and others like us, We help people to buy plans to fill in those gaps. They're called Medicare supplemental plans, also called Medigap policies. And so the insured pays a premium to an insurance company and is transferring some of those financial gaps or all those gaps to the insurance company. So they're not having to incur that liability. And companies like UnitedHealthcare and Aetna and Cigna and Mutual of Omaha, and there's a variety of companies that offer these supplemental plans to Medicare recipients, and we are brokers for them. We represent the majority of companies out there. So that's one system. That is A and B with a supplemental plan. The other system that has become quite popular those are called the Advantage plans, which is a private health insurance company replacing the original Medicare system for the enrollee. And now you have a private health insurance company that's really overseeing and directing the patient's care instead of original Medicare doing that. And so these, again, become popular. They started back in 2003, so they've been around about 20 years. And again, some of the large, well-known insurance companies, Aetna and Humana, UnitedHealthcare, all those offer Medicare Advantage plans. Each of these systems are different. In our firm, we definitely write both. But we know that really the best insurance option to kind of educate your audience, I still believe, is a Medicare supplemental plan, just because you don't have to go through some of the hoops that Advantage companies oftentimes make their insureds go through, pre-authorizations, networks, referrals, and that whole system is then dictated by the private health insurance company instead of being dictated by Medicare. Now, frankly, Advantage plans are attractive to many consumers because on a monthly basis, they cost less. Now, someone gets sick, they don't cost less. They're going to actually cost more. But those are the two systems that are available for people to choose, get a supplemental plan or get an Advantage plan.
I'm chatting with Marvin Music, who, together with a very talented team of licensed Medicare guides, aims to liberate individuals from the confusion surrounding Medicare. And I know, Marvin, you and your team are committed to an education-first approach, which we appreciate. So the million-dollar question, Marvin, what makes Medicare insurance so confusing and complicated to understand?
Okay, well, first off, there's over 70 million people that are in the Medicare system. So just the size of it itself makes it difficult. Plus, it's a government program, huge department. One of the largest expenditures from our federal government would be Medicare as well as Social Security. And so when you have that large of a government agency, you're going to have lots of rules and requirements. The second thing that makes it confusing is people that are on Medicare are often confused, yet they would like to give their opinion about things. And so you have consumers that add to confusion. You have people that may understand a little bit about Medicare, but they really haven't connected all the dots. They can't put all the pieces of the puzzle together. And so you get this misinformation that just swirls everywhere as people are approaching Medicare. And so, frankly, Shalom, what I did is this. I studied Medicare for 1 year before I ever did anything. I wanted to understand what was going on, and I very quickly realized that what happens in our business is that agents, their whole goal is to sell a quick plan and get on to the next person instead of slowing down, taking time to educate people about how to get into Medicare at the right time, what their options are, the ins and outs of all those options, and to really just take time to thoroughly educate people. And that's what we do. We do that online through our YouTube channel. We do it through our website where people can just watch workshops. I do live workshops. So the point is, we just want people to understand before you make any Medicare decision, get a good, decent comprehension of how the system works. Why? Because the consequences can be painful if you choose the wrong plan, sometimes even irreversible. And so we always begin with education. We just try to help people to have this, the basic understanding. They don't have to be experts, but they need to understand how their insurance is going to work before they start enrolling in plans.
The website is MedicareSchool.com. We'll share that again in just a moment. Marvin, we only have time for about 1 minute remaining. And what questions do you suggest that people ask when they speak with a Medicare insurance broker for the first time?
Well, I would say, first off, what are my options? And if you're talking to someone that's really credible, ethical, honest, they will tell you about both. They'll talk about supplemental plans. They'll also talk about Medicare Advantage plans. And then also you want to take the time to be sure that you pick out the right prescription drug plan. So be sure you're dealing with someone that will take the time. Frankly, we don't make a lot of money on drug plans at all, but it's a very important component of everyone's coverage. So that's what I'd want to do. What are my options? Let's talk about drug plans, SUPs, Advantage plans. And then I think also if you're dealing with someone that's experienced, they'll probably help you into that process. We help people enroll actually into Medicare A and B. We're not compensated for that, but it can be difficult for some people, especially if they do not start at 65. They come in later. It's a whole different enrollment process, and that needs to be done correctly. And so that's what I would ask. Can you help me enroll into Medicare A and B? And can you explain all my insurance options, both the good and the bad? Our goal is to make sure everyone even understands the fine print in these plans because we want them to have confidence and make the right choice.
Perfect. Well, I know we've shared your website several times, and I know you've certainly explained why people need to talk to you. But again, one more time, how can we get in touch with you and your talented team?
All right. Well, our website, of course, MedicareSchool.com. Lots of information there. And then our YouTube channel. Shalom, I have hundreds and hundreds of videos on YouTube that people watch. Some are 10 minutes, some are 30 minutes, but there's a variety of ways which they can gather information that they need.
Can't wait to be in touch with you again. Marvin Music, MedicareSchool.com. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, sir.
Hey, Rebecca, Get Down to Business. So I have been thinking a lot about my conversation with our next guest. Where do you look to find the guidance needed to develop sales teams and processes tailored to how your prospect wants to buy, not how you think they want to buy? How do you leverage data, artificial intelligence, and metrics in ways not possible just a few years ago? That's exactly what my next guest, Mark Petruzzi, who has worked in the enterprise software and cloud software ecosystem for, believe it or not, 25 years. And together with his co-authors, they have written Data and Diagnosis-Driven Selling. It published in late November of last year. And I'm absolutely thrilled to have Mark Petruzzi join us. Thanks so much for coming on the program.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's dive in. You've been spending your career focusing on this, but how can that integration of AI technologies, something we talk a lot about on this program, enhance data-driven selling strategies in the B2B software as a service space? And tell us a little bit about some of the cases that you've highlighted there in the book, Data and Diagnosis-Driven Selling.
Sounds like a great plan. Well, we're in a really interesting time, and you know, when it comes down to it, you know, we always, as a culture, we always think we're in interesting times. But when it comes down to the power of artificial intelligence, the power of what we can do with data nowadays, it is kind of special. And we're just now starting to harness the power that is out there. And, you know, I think you really hit on the point before, and that is in the selling industry or the sales function, we've spent a lot of time figuring out over the years better ways or the best way to sell. And then we really learned that it's really not how we want to sell. It's how our buyers want to buy. So now we are able to go and really look at and see how buyers generate a propensity towards a particular product or company versus one that they don't have or may never have. And, you know, today, nowadays, we're able to really back that up with data and really look at it and see, test the metrics, build some benchmarks, and then come back and really measure to those metrics throughout the process.
Absolutely. I'm chatting with Mark Petruzzi, who again wrote this fantastic read, Data and Diagnosis-Driven Selling. Mark, how did you get into this idea? I know you've, as mentioned, spent 25 plus years in the enterprise software and cloud software ecosystem, but when did you first hear the acronym of AI?
Wow. So I've been working in the AI space for about 6 years, and there may be some people who say, you know, 6 years, I haven't really heard it for around that long. And that's really the differentiation between generative AI and predictive AI. And really 6 years, 8 years, maybe more. I mean, the base of AI and capabilities that were built there go back 20 years. But for me, it's been about a 6-year journey. And what I learned is predictive AI is incredible. And everyone is excited now about, you know, Gen AI, but there's lots still to be done and accomplished with predictive AI as well. And the simple model between the two, when it comes down to a predictive model, and again, these are large language models. This is how these systems are built and leveraged. It does a really good job predicting what happens next. So in the selling model, that's important. You really want to predict what your buyer is going to do next. You're going to want to foresee what they need and want next as much as possible. Now, for the past 15 months or so, we've been in this incredible world of ChatGPT, OpenAI, and the opportunity now to generate things with artificial intelligence. And that's really where most people have gotten excited and where the world has learned about artificial intelligence.
Absolutely. And it's been fascinating to see how in this book you've you together with your colleagues who have collectively over 100 years of combined experience in as sales veterans capture some, you know, best practices, a lot of stories and a lot of lessons, which are relevant to everybody. So thanks for making this as real as possible. So sticking on that sales theme for a moment, how can businesses like the ones that you and your co-authors, Paul and Ray and Bob, I know they've all led sales teams. How can businesses effectively train and empower sales teams to leverage AI tools and data analytics in their daily activities, ensuring a seamless integration that enhances rather than replaces human expertise?
Salam, I'm very fortunate to have those great co-authors that I brought into this book. We also have another concept that's been incredible, and that is the concept of cloud titans. Now, this book is a book built for anyone who's in the complex B2B selling model, selling world. But we have more of a specialization in SaaS, software as a service. And with that, I've been fortunate enough to work with some of the best CROs in the business in that space. And as many of you know, software as a service, software as a whole, has generated a number of incredible businesses and huge amounts of market capitalization on the public markets. And I have worked with some of the most successful CROs, chief revenue officers, in that space. So we have that correlation to the book as well. And then this all started about 3 years ago with our first book called Selling the Cloud, which was more of a baseline process-driven book, less focused on the technical aspects that we brought together in this last book here. Now, back to your original question, there's just so much that can be done nowadays. Now, one of the challenges is making sure to not overdo it. And making sure to bring in great advisors, individuals who really know this space. Because if you try to just start from scratch, well, the first thing you'll find is there's products that do everything now in artificial intelligence in the sales tech world. And there are dozens of products that mirror each other in every critical space. So then your first step is, you know, how do you figure out which are the companies that are going to be around 3 years from now? Which are the ones that have attributes that fit what you need it to do? And, you know, which companies you want to work with and feel most comfortable with, just as we talked about the buyer journey before, what kind of companies you want working with you as well. So recommendation there is bringing, you know, good advisors, do your research online. And really don't take anything as, you know, as fact and capability until you test it and feel it and see it with your own eyes.
Absolutely. And Mark, with so many of our listeners being small business owners, entrepreneurs, many of them might be shrugging their shoulders and think, gosh, this guy, Mark, he's worked with large companies. None of this is relevant for me and the challenges that I face in small town USA. Mark, what would you say to them?
Well, first off, I've worked with some smaller organizations along the way, and I've kind of had a mirror career with working with some of the largest software companies on the planet, like Oracle, like Salesforce, like Workday, and some of the smallest as well, companies that are really startups. But this matters to every business nowadays. And, you know, and that's when I say small business, I mean a landscaper. I mean, you know, a plumbing company. All of these things can really, really benefit from the power of AI. And this stuff is not hard to do. It's not a complex technology type of implementation or setup, even though the technology behind the tools are all very, very complex. So again, I'd recommend, you know, open your mind to the power of AI. Leverage this. This is about, in my view and the way I see it, this is about helping humans, not replacing humans. So it really comes down to giving even the staff and the team that you have today an ability to become more productive, more strategic. Anything that's repetitive or generally based on that approach, you really could look at AI as a capability that could replace that function and give your really smart and trustworthy humans better opportunity to do more strategic work.
Well, Mark, I've really enjoyed the book, and I know our listeners will as well. It's called Data and Diagnosis Driven Selling, published in late November 2023. And I know our folks will want to get in touch with you and purchase a copy of the book. How can they do that?
Best way is probably LinkedIn. And then the other best way is to go to the website, datadrivenselling.ai.
Fantastic. Mark Petruzzi, thanks so much for joining us. That's a wrap. We've got to squeeze in a very quick break here and get down to business. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Get Down to Business, the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. And I am absolutely thrilled to be joined by Lou Percaro, who has been doing amazing work via the Pantry Promise Ministries, which I don't want to steal his thunder. It's incredible work out in Campden Hills, Illinois. And Lou, it's truly an honor and a privilege to bring you onto the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So let's talk about your background and how this amazing ministry got started.
We've been going for 4 years now, and I did not have any intention on running a food pantry ministry, but that's how the Lord worked it. And we started out, I am a sign contractor, so I have a sign company, and then during COVID went back and got my license to become a certified electrician, doing electrical all those years. Then I started doing more commercial and residential electrical. In around that time, my wife was homeschooling our kids. We lived in Roselle. We were pulled out to the St. Charles area in Campden Hills via a homeschool co-op and a church that we were attending. And then the Lord spoke to me in that process, and we had purchased a farm that I thought I was going to remodel and, you know, redo a house for my family. And the Lord spoke to me one early morning and gave me a vision for having a food pantry and to share his word.
Incredible. And thank you so, so much for the important work that you're doing. And you have on your website many quotes from scripture, which I know are your inspiration. And it's incredible the impact that you're having. And that's where I want to spend the next few minutes talking about. So Pantry Promise Ministries, you say on your website very clearly, you're not a standard food bank or pantry. You put God first. And in doing so, He has provided top quality food for families on tight budgets. Yeah. So let's talk about that. Indeed, it is a challenging time for so many families that may be falling on tough times. Lou, over the past few years, 4 years, I believe, how many families have you been able to help?
It's hundreds and hundreds of families. Every week, Saturday at 3 is when we share the word of God. And then after that, there's prayer for people in need, and they, you know, the families come in and take as much food as they feel they need, or if they're picking up food for other families. It's just amazing how many people have come through there, and there's a shift in people in need now. a lot of people that have migrated, you know, into the country that are still obviously struggling and trying to settle. So we're trying to adjust and accommodate everybody.
Absolutely. And we're talking, of course, now about the recipients. I know you have a quote on your website from a fellow, Eric, who said that Pantry Promise Ministries has helped my family to save money on groceries when times have been very tight. We know that there is a, unfortunately, that Wheel of Fortune. And sometimes, again, the unexpected and the difficult times come when least expected. And it's incredible, again, helping folks like Eric and, like you said, hundreds and hundreds of additional people that come often on Saturdays at 3 p.m. to, again, as you say, feast on the word and pick up some great food. And great food indeed, which is fantastic. Again, not making people feel badly about their situation. It could be any of us. And you have helped so many people. I want to then change gears and talk about the donors to, again, Pantry Promise Ministries. Lou, who has been supporting your work?
I am, like I said, self-employed. I have an electrical company as well as a sign business. So it's really self-funded. We're a non-for-profit, but we do not get any donations really from any businesses. So when families do come, there is a blessing box and they can give whatever the Holy Spirit feels that it's moving them to give. But really it's a complete self-funded thing. And I just am amazed that it's been 4 years. I think back and I'm like, how am I sustaining all of this? And it is the Holy Spirit.
It's incredible. And a shout out, we were put in touch by a very good friend of the program, Paul Szczepaniak from IDT, and really, really grateful for, I know, his support. And he's so passionate about the work that you're doing. And I know you've you have a fan club out there, Lou, that's supporting your work, which is great. So Saturdays at 3 p.m., again, ministry, and of course, you take care of folks. If folks want to find ways that they can support your work and get in touch with you, how can they do that?
There is a website, obviously has links to it. You can, you know, feel free to call me at 630-253-1134. And if you go to the website, obviously there's scripture there to encourage people spiritually. But there's also a way to donate through the website. It is pantrypromisegive@gmail.com.
Fantastic. That is great. Again, Lou, really appreciate all the important work that you're doing. Again, that website, pantrypromiseministry.com. Only reason I say share your cell phone is because everybody has your cell phone. I know it's listed out there on the website. And again, God bless you, Lou, for all the important work that you're doing. We hope that our listeners will find ways to, again, as you say, come and join on Saturdays at 3 p.m. to feast on the word and pick up some great food. Appreciate all of the good work that you're doing. And I can't wait to bring you back on soon. Get Down to Business is powered by our good friends, Laura Cantrimont-Gerace from Coldwell Banker, Stratford Place. Really grateful for her support as well of this program. You can get on, you give her a call at 708-562-4900, 708-562-4900. Quick break and Get Down to Business. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Get Down to Business, continuing our conversations with amazing people making an impact in the world. And my next guest is Tammy Cohn, who has been partnering with top-tier corporate executives and entrepreneurs to develop their personal and professional brands for more than 20 years. She's a connector and in particular has helped literally dozens and hundreds of women to thrive and grow exponentially, which is why she founded the Women Beyond the Table, a business network. She's also a podcaster. We'll talk more about that. But today, I'm really excited to talk about Tammy's first book, Text Messages to My Son. Tammy Cohn, welcome to the program.
Hi there, Shalom. Welcome. And well, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me. And I'm saying welcome to.
Fantastic. Well, you're part of the family now, so it's great. It's great. Tammy, you live in Manhattan with your husband and three sons. Yes. Oh my gosh, that sounds like a lot of work. And we haven't even talked about what you do professionally. That's quite a bit. Tammy, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, as you know, I have three sons who are grown now. They're 30, 28, and 23, and they were the inspiration for text messages to my sons, connecting deeply in a world of devices. Two of them live downtown. They share an apartment downtown. And my youngest is 23 and he's still at home. He's saving money because he, of course, wants to move out too. I've been in Manhattan pretty much the majority of my life. We own a restaurant on the Upper East Side. It happens to be a kosher restaurant. And it's been there for 14 years. Very eclectic, cool place. Lots of great food. And I work in brand messaging. I work mostly in the gem and jewelry space. But during the pandemic, when I decided to start messaging my sons, I also decided to, put together a women's business network called Women Beyond the Table. And it's just grown from there because basically I realized my point in life is to be a connector.
I love it. I love it. And I can relate quite a bit to that. I look forward to many, many more conversations in the future. And mazel tov on the new book. And very exciting. I think I've been at your restaurant before on the Upper East Side, which is great. So this is, and I underline the word first book. This is your first book where, again, you talk about connecting deeply with your family in a world of devices. So let's talk a little bit about your family since you're so open and transparent about it. I imagine, especially, again, owning a restaurant, I know a thing or two about that. I can imagine it's busy, but we're having this conversation in early 2024. It's a strange time. So what was the inspiration behind this fantastic read?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Shalom. I never started out to write a book. I never thought of becoming an author, definitely not self-publishing. It just wasn't something on my to-do list or something that I thought about. What happened was during the pandemic when we were all shut down and I started really taking stock of myself and who I was, and I wasn't very happy with myself. And I realized I had a lot of my own origin baggage that I was carrying around, but also a lot of limiting beliefs that I've been carrying around. So at that point, I started trying to work more on myself because we had time. You know, I'm not saying the pandemic was by no means a blessing, but for a lot of people, it was an opportunity to stop, you know, and look around and think about what's going on in their life. So basically, at that moment, I said, you know what? I really want to change the conversation. I want to change the paradigm of my relationship with my sons. I'd like to connect deeply. Now, initially, like every text I ever sent them was always a reprimand, a command, or a reminder, you know, like, do this, be here. What do you want? I'm busy. You forgot this. And it was always that kind of exchange. And I said, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to just send them messages of love, inspiration. I want to share knowledge. I share what I'm learning. I'm learning amazing things. I'm reading like books from visionaries who took them 30 years to write a book. And I want to share this. I want to be accountable because, you know, it's not a given, you know, just because we grew up with, I'm your parent, you know, don't be, you know, children should be seen, not heard. Don't question me. You have to trust me and respect me automatically. And I realized that I wanted to build these things because I wasn't always present. I wasn't always in the best frame of mind when I dealt with them. And I wanted them to know that it was never them. You know, it was always me where I was at that sometimes didn't react the right way. And because I wasn't in a good place. So they started to see me as a human being. And that was the goal, is be a human being, be accountable with them, build trust. But I also realized, and I'm going to be honest with you, this book published, you know, not that long ago. But from October 7th on, I realized the reason I really was driven to do this, to actually put it in a book. First, it started out more about people saying to me like, oh, my God, I would tell them what I'm doing. I message my sons every day, you know, and this is what I do. I don't expect anything back from them. I don't expect them to respond even. I just need to do this. So they're like, wow, that's amazing. You know, you should share this with other parents. I mean, you should write a book. Put it in a book. So I said, okay. But it wasn't until October 7th, and I realized the extent of how many kids, how many people are so disconnected. So getting such misinformation, so stuck on these ridiculous algorithms that are designed to engage your mind 24/7 and pop information in there. I said to myself, you know what? We have to counter that. And the only way to counter that is with light and to send the different kind of message. Send it to start with your family, your loved ones, your children. And that's how it grew. And that's, I'm like kind of in a movement right now, I feel like.
I love it. I'm chatting with Tammy Cohn, the author of Text Messages to My Sons, Connecting Deeply in a World of Devices. Tammy, we're going to have to go to break in a moment, but if there's one thing, one message that you want somebody reading this book to walk away with, what is it?
Start. It's not hard. Just start. Start today. Start tomorrow. And you know what? Use the book as a guide, because there's hundreds of messages in there by categories. And just do it, because it's never too late to connect with somebody who you love. Never too late to change a relationship. Never too late to deepen a relationship and a connection. To just start.
And as you say, once again, anybody that started doing this, as you say, in this movement, the results have been wonderful. We're going to squeeze in a quick break. Again, continuing my conversation with Tammy Cohn, the author of Text Messages to My Sons. Tammy is a very accomplished communicator, and I'm looking forward to picking her brain in some of those areas as well. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Get Down to Business. Continuing my conversation with Tammy Cohn, who, as we've been saying, has been partnering with top-tier corporate executives and entrepreneurs to develop their personal and professional brands for more than 20 years. She is the author of a recently published book, which is quite the accomplishment, Text Messages to My Sons. So, Tammy, we were just talking during the break. How have your sons handled suddenly all of their communication and their messages with their mom sort of being talked about, maybe not all captured in this book? What do they think?
Well, the good news is that their responses are not in the book. It's just my messages to them. My sons have been really supportive because they understood that it's important. I mean, you got to imagine, I have three kids. I raised them in Manhattan. They're not like, you know, they're tough guys. And they really look forward to those messages. And they said it makes them bulletproof because they know that there's somebody who loves them and cares enough to send them a message of love and telling them how worthy they are, how extraordinary. So it makes them bulletproof for the rest of the day. But they really came through because they were very involved with helping me pick the format and also with the design of the cover. But also my three sons wrote the foreword to the book. But I couldn't put their names in it. They like, don't put our names in it. Don't put a picture of us on it. There's no picture of my kids in the book. Their names are not in the book. Every message starts with good morning, sunshine. So it's, you don't know their names. My husband, you know, my husband's Israeli and his first language is French, actually. He's born in Morocco. Then came Hebrew, then came Arabic, then came English kind of thing. So he read the book. He usually reads novels and things in Hebrew, but he read the book and he said it's so easy to read it because it's written completely in text message format. So it's a very easy read for anybody. And he also said to me, wow, I didn't know how you felt. I never really knew how you felt until I read these messages. And he goes, I didn't even know that you wish you had somebody who did that for you when you were growing up. Like, he goes, I didn't know. And so it's brought us closer. I think the whole making this book come alive, creating it and self-publishing, they saw I was serious, but they also, I think it brought us together.
That's incredible. It's fantastic. Again, Text Messages to My Sons. We'll link in just a moment. But Tammy, while I have you for just the next minute or so, I know you are the founder of Women Beyond the Table and a fantastic podcast as well, the Beyond the Table podcast. Let's talk about both of those things.
Well, Women Beyond the Table started also during the pandemic. You know, I was, like I said, I was changing things around and I wanted to expand my business and learn new things. So I was like, wouldn't it be great if there was a group of women I could really trust and I could get services from? And that's how it started. We started with a very small call, which led to just growing from there. Every month we've had a call. This started January 2021. But the women are really great. It's a very non-judgmental bunch. They're very non-competitive, but very supportive. We have a community, a sisterhood. We're a business owners. Mostly the women are entrepreneurs. They went through the Great Resignation and they decided to expand their business or take their side hustle and go with it. So we are very supportive and we exchange services. We also educate and provide whatever they need to get to the next level. The Beyond the Table podcast is just under the umbrella of Women Beyond the Table. We interview our really interesting women because they all have stories and they all have journeys and they all have challenges that they've overcome. And we also interview women who are not members. So we try to bring it where people, the audience, can relate and can learn and can say, if they can do it, I can do it.
Well, you've got a lot of reasons why folks would want to get in touch with you, Tammy Cohn. How can they do that to learn more about the Beyond the Table podcast? Of course, your fantastic book, Text Messages to My Sons, which we've been talking All About, which teaches, as you have said, a movement of connecting deeply in a world of devices, and of course, Women Beyond the Table.
Well, the best way to get to me, of course, would be www.tc, T as in Tom, C as in Cat, brand, B-R-A-N-D, consulting.com. Everything's on there. The book's on there too. There's a contact form there. If you want to be a podcast guest, if you want to learn more about the Women Beyond the Table, you can learn it there. Mm-hmm.
Tammy, thanks so much. That's a wrap for us this week on Get Down to Business. You can always go to my website, syklein.com. Success. Let's get down to business.